13th is a documentary film and a Netflix original directed by Ava DuVernay. DuVernay's been best known for directing Selma, the story of Martin Luther King's historic 1965 civil rights march. 13th has a lot of familiar names and faces in it, and one of them is from Michigan. Current State's Brooke Allen is here to tell us who that is and what 13th is all about. Hi, Brooke.
Hey, good morning, Mark. Well, 13th, of course, refers to the 13th Amendment, which outlawed slavery unless it's been used as a punishment for a crime. And former Michigan House Speaker Craig DeRoche is actually in the documentary. Mr. DeRoche is now the Senior Vice President of Advocacy and Public Policy for Prison Fellowship, and it's no surprise he was asked to be in the film. 13th touches on many issues involving the criminal justice system, starting with slavery, moving on through the civil rights movement, the war on drugs, and the increase in mass incarceration. And Craig DeRoche says there is a reason 13th was the first documentary ever chosen to open the New York Film Festival.
It's a wonderful film, and I think it's a wonderful place to start because it, to me, the 13th Amendment addressing the involuntary servitude, you know, is the first way it's stated. And then the second way it's stated is slavery, which I think is because of the time and the issues that were before the Congress and in the 13th Amendment that they wanted to make it stated in plain English. But without the courts being able to force somebody to pay back the damage they've done, we would be at a great disadvantage, you know, that if somebody stole a laptop out of my car and the courts couldn't tell the person they had to pay me back the damage of the laptop, their only recourse would be to incarcerate the person. They wouldn't be able to enforce anything. So it's a complicated issue. It was a choice of words that President Abraham Lincoln and the Congress chose, and I think that the problems of what started with people trying to find workarounds for the changes in our country that were led so brilliantly by our greatest president, Abraham Lincoln, it began immediately that yes, we no longer have slavery, but how do we work around this? And it's continued to this day. And the criminal justice system has been a lever for those that want to repel certain races or ethnicities or religions from their community, from their region, from institutions like schools, and I think it was a creative choice that Ava DuVernay made, and it made the point well. But I would also put up an asterisk and say that well-intentioned people, and including places like Detroit, Michigan, that have largely been governed by African American leadership, have behaved the same way as folks in cities with predominantly Caucasian leadership. And so I would say that we need to continue to work at the structural problems that we have that has led to the human behavior of our police force and our prosecutors and our judges enforcing the law in a way that's inconsistent with our values, regardless of their race, too.
And how you felt about being in this documentary? I mean, this is, you know, even last week before, I've never mentioned that I was going to interview you, never mentioned I was going to watch this documentary, and just randomly I would see people post about this on my Facebook feed.
Yeah, it was a great honor to be asked by Ava DuVernay and the entire team. It's an incredible commitment that Netflix made in investing in this and letting it be released as a feature film.
The war on drugs had become part of our popular culture in television programs like Cops.
When you cut on your local news at night, you see black men being paraded across the screen in handcuffs.
Black people, black men and black people in general, are overrepresented in news as criminals. When I say overrepresented, that means they are shown as criminals more times than is accurate that they are actually criminals, right? Based on FBI statistics.
I mean, I'm a big believer in the power of media full of these cliches that basically present mostly black and brown folks who seem like animals in cages. And then someone could turn off the TV thinking, It's a good thing for prisons, because otherwise those crazy people would be walking on my block.
Creating a context where people are afraid. And when you make people afraid, you can always justify putting people in a garbage can.
Chances are you could run into a kid waiting to relieve you of your purse or wallet.
Every media outlet. It was a real privilege that they would reach out to me, of all people, just a little guy from Michigan, to offer a voice to this, as you say, with so many luminaries in it. To be honest with you, it's a real privilege that I've been able to, since I left Michigan as the Speaker of the House more than a decade ago, to be put into a situation where I could use my experience in overcoming my own addiction, going through the criminal justice system myself, for the benefit of other people. That really is something that I'm in awe of and very grateful for every day. And I think that's why I get invited to these things, is because we're all in this together as Americans. It's affecting all of our lives. It used to be, I think, when Richard Nixon started this, it was more of an us and them type rhetoric when it came to criminal justice and those people that are out there on the streets. But what we've seen, particularly as it's metastasized, the failings of our criminal justice system, is that everybody knows somebody who's had struggles with addiction. Everybody knows somebody who has a criminal record that has repaid their debt to society, that is having difficulty providing for their family, to stay involved in the family unit, to be an economic contributor to their kids and to our country. And so these are very big problems. And what I said about the crime bill of 1994, and what I meant entirely, was that changed our relationship at the local level with police, because it was the federal government investing in the police to behave like a federal system, you know, with tanks and SWAT units and helicopters and all of these other things. So it kind of fundamentally changed our relationship with the police from a restorative, corrective, familial. We want this kid or this young person or this husband and wife that are going through a messy situation in their life. Sure, we want to hold them accountable, but we want them to pay it back. We want them to be successful, to more of a top-down, we've got to get these people off the streets and punish our way out of this, and we're going to fund it with federal tax dollars. So it was a huge, I believe, structural change and also a massive error in public policy, the crime bill of 1994.
And do you agree that the war on drugs led to the rise in mass incarceration?
I believe that the war on drugs fueled a huge percentage of that. I believe that we can't stop there, though, when you say which policies need to change of who are locking up and for why. I believe that is by far and away the biggest contributor by percentage, runaway biggest contributor. But at Prison Fellowship, we don't equivocate and say, well, we're going to live up to our values as Americans or as Christians or as conservatives or liberals, whatever you want to say, where your values are rooted, for people that commit nonviolent crimes with marijuana. But we still can throw away the life and the worth of a human being that, say, stole a stereo from Radio Shack. We don't believe that that's true. What we need to do is we need to change this system for everyone, because we have seen justice, a punishment that restores, that has a restorative value to it, a corrective value that can heal the community. And every time we throw away someone's life, and every time we come short of our own values, who we hurt is ourselves in the community. The reforms that we advocate actually reduce crime and restore families and allow people to live to their God-given potential. And we believe that should be available to everyone, regardless of their crime. But it's a great place to start. And as somebody who's in recovery for addiction myself, I know firsthand that the alcohol wasn't my problem. It was my solution to my problems. And until we wake up to that in America, the backward thinking that the availability of drugs is the reason why people choose to use them, then we're never going to make a dent in people's drug use in America.
I'm Brooke Allen for Current State, speaking with Craig DeRoche, the Senior Vice President of Advocacy and Public Policy for Prison Fellowship, about his appearance in 13th. Of course, this documentary was released before the election, and now that the election is over and it went opposite of what everyone expected, how do you think everything is going to turn out now that President-elect is Trump?
Well, I think everybody's got a lot of questions. I think that because of the fact that people did not expect Donald Trump to win the presidency, they didn't ask him questions. They shot right past it. You know, I think that Secretary Clinton was asked questions because of her husband's 1994 crime bill and because of statements that she made, which were covered in the film, like young African-American men being super predators and things that she said in the 1990s. I think that Ava DuVernay did an excellent job of being kind of fair and balanced, that everyone on the ballot has a reason for us to question their record.
I hear the word super predator as if that was my name.
Super predator, predator.
Super predator.
Super predators, end quote. That's the word they use to describe this generation. And it was very, very effective.
Experts call them super predators.
They are not just gangs of kids anymore. They are often the kinds of kids that are called super predators. No conscience, no empathy.
And with Donald Trump's poor behavior toward people at his rally and things that were represented there in the film, it would leave us with questions for either that got elected. But with Donald Trump in particular, getting away with saying something like law and order and safety is kind of a loaded political talking point.
In the Central Park Jagger case, they put 5 innocent teens in prison because the public pressure to lock up these quote-unquote animals was so strong.
You better believe that I hate the people that took this girl and raped her brutally. You better believe it.
Donald Trump wanted to give these kids a death penalty, and he took out a full-page ad to put the pressure on.
So we're gonna have to see if a President Trump is going to actually follow the facts, which would lead to less incarceration in America, would lead to a greater sensitivity of what's happening with the policing and the prosecutions in our urban areas for economically disadvantaged people, primarily folks of color, and lead to changes there. Or if he would revert to what we've done for 40 years that didn't work. But it sounded good on television. It's a good political template, but the evidence shows that didn't make us safer. It was more expensive, less efficient. It discarded human life, and it didn't actually make our streets safer. So we all have a lot of work to do. Folks like Prison Fellowship have a lot of work to do to make sure that President Trump and the leaders that he appoints in the key spots is aware of the opportunity that he has to continue the reforms that have worked in the states and expand them in the federal government.
One last question for you. If you had one thing to say to somebody who was out there and who had not seen 13th, what would you tell them?
It's a great story. And what makes it brilliant is it tells a story of America. I think more of the story needs to be told of the human experience that going through it. So I do hope that Ava DuVernay and others and that Netflix continues to produce movies along these lines and brings the Americans back into the conversation of criminal justice in their community.
Craig DeRoche, the Senior Vice President of Advocacy and Public Policy for Prison Fellowship, about his appearance in 13th.
Here come the drums!
Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's been great to be with you.
All right. Here come the drums.